Hey everybody, and welcome to the Hack My Homestead podcast. Today is Wednesday, September 20th, 2023. And today I'm just going to give kind of an update of what we've got going on. Last month I did a rundown. It only happened to have been like six episodes ago because of everything I've had going on. But we did kind of a rundown of what we had in the works, and so just wanted to kind of do the same thing today. We do have the Kickstarter, we have my part of the Kickstarter done up, other than like actually shipping the stuff out. So we're in editing, video editing is complete. We're looking at options for maybe trimming the video down a little bit because we're at about 90 minutes right now, and that's a bit long for digital distribution. And so we're just looking at what we can do to kind of trim that some, and then, you know, get it over to the audio master guy who's going to do all the audio mastering. But the hard part's done. We've got some additional testing that we're going to do just kind of in the meantime between now and when everything's done. Some additional information that we're going to be putting into the white paper. And so so that's going to be happening over the next week or so. As far as the homestead goes, I did finally get my two inverters shipped back to Signature Solar today. They actually sent me my return labels like a week and a half ago, but I don't live anywhere near a UPS store, and so I kind of just threw them in the vehicle, and through my travels finally got to where I was close to one, and went in and got those shipped out today. So hopefully we'll get the replacements soon. Right now the homestead is running off of a single 3000 watt 120 volt inverter and a charge controller. So previously we had everything wired so that we were using the all-in-one functionality of the inverters. When the inverters went out, we needed to kind of still have power, but the inverter that I had a much lower maximum input voltage. And so what we did to kind of make everything work was we wired the inverter into the batteries and the main panel. We did a jumper from one side of the panel to the other side of the panel so that all of our 120 volt circuits worked. I just took the 240 volt breakers out since none of those, we don't have access to 240 right now. And honestly, we only had two devices that used 240. That was the bedroom mini split. And, you know, we didn't really need that outside of, you know, the super, super hot part of the year. So by the time the inverters went out, it was okay for us not to run that. We still had the mini split in the living room, and we could just open the bedroom door up to kind of help cool the bedroom. And the only other item that we had was the well pump. And, you know, we use rainwater collection most of the time, so we don't have a significant need for the well pump, but every now and again, we do end up needing to run the well pump to kind of fill up the cistern if we've got a bunch of weeks in a row with no rain. And what we ended up with is a bunch of weeks in a row without rain. It rained all around us, but not at our house. And so what I did was is I just took the wire, the four wire, out of the pressure switch and wired it straight to a plug, like an RV plug, and then plugged that into our big generator. And so in order to fill up the IBC totes with the main deep well pump, we just basically plugged it straight into the generator. So no problems there. Everything works fine. And the rest of the house all works off of 120 volts. So literally no issues other than, you know, the well pump. And that issue wouldn't have been an issue if we had just gotten some rain. So it is pretty dry around the house right now. And I say no rain, we've gotten a couple little like sprinkle sessions. So everything's still green. It's not like we're in a drought, but you know, a sprinkle session isn't enough to fill up a 1500 gallon cistern, especially when it hasn't been raining. Cause what we do with our first flush of water when it rains, well, we let it clean our system. Then we cap it and then use the rest of the water to fill up the tanks. And so none of our recent rain events have really been enough to make much of a dent in the actual tank level. But you know what they say, you know, two is one, one is none. And our primary water source is the rain, and secondary is the well pump. And we were able to just fall back onto the secondary source. I do think that once all of the Kickstarter things are complete, I will probably take one of the submersible pumps that we got and drop it down into my well and use that as my main pump. I'll probably pull the big heavy-duty 3-horsepower, 240-volt pump out and just use this small pump. Again, just to pump water up to the cistern, because we don't need that significant, you know, flow that the big well, I mean, the big well pump is pumping water up about 270 feet and with no head pressure or no, like, you know, we're not pressurizing the house. We're getting like 9 gallons a minute. So I don't necessarily have to get 9 gallons a minute. I'm perfectly fine with 1 gallon a minute for more minutes. So we'll probably, haven't decided 100%. A lot of it's going to depend on getting the new inverters back, getting them wired in, and, you know, kind of testing the running that well pump along with everything else on the system and just kind of see what it does, see how I feel, basically. However I feel is going to determine what I ended up doing with that well pump. And I think another thing that we'll probably do next spring, you know, when we get into the wet season, is we're going to go around the property and actively look for springs or seeps or whatever. We've got a year-round creek on one side of us and a seasonal creek on the other side. And I just have a feeling that with as much elevation change we have on our property, that somewhere on the property we're going to be able to find a spring. And I might even hire, you know, a dowser to come out and douse the property and give us some ideas. I don't know if anyone's ever used a dowser before, but I know a lot of country folk really, really say that they know what they're doing. And so so we'll find out. My next door neighbor has a pond on his property. And so probably what we'll do if we are able to find a spring is we'll fill up a little spring pool with a filter bucket and use that to pump water out of at our leisure. And then we'll probably try to divert that so that the overflow goes into his watershed, because I would imagine if we're tapping into that spring, we're probably tapping into something that feeds the stream that feeds his pond. And so trying to be a good steward of the water, even though we don't really have a limit to water resources in the state of Tennessee, we get tons of water. It just seems like the right thing to do there. So I'll be reporting back on that next year. The kitchen remodel project is kind of going, and the bathroom remodel project is kind of going. Both areas are functional. Both areas are fully functional. I can't say fully functional. They're functional. They are usable. You know, like the bathroom, we can run the washing machine, we can use the toilet, we can take a shower. But in order to take a shower, right now we're just hitting a valve on the wall behind the shower. We're only feeding hot water to the shower head right now, so we've got the hot water heater set at 100 degrees. And you know, we have a wall that's got to be put in still. And on that wall, once the wall is in, we'll be putting a sink in. And then we got to do all of our wall and ceiling finishes. So there's still a decent amount of work to do on the bathroom. But since that wasn't a planned project, it was kind of like, hey, let's get it to where we can use it again and then work on our other things. Like I said, kitchen remodel is underway somewhat. We've got the kitchen sink in, but not a kitchen counter. So basically what I did was I just built a frame to drop the sink into, so that we can use it for washing dishes and things like that. We did kind of redesign the flow of the kitchen a little bit, moved the refrigerator, got our new refrigerator, got rid of the propane refrigerator, and we moved it to the opposite side of the kitchen. And we also relocated the water heater to the kitchen. So that work's all done. And, you know, the next thing is we need to get our countertops done. I've got the wood for the countertops has been in the kitchen for, I don't know, probably 7 years. It's butcher. We're going to be building a butcher block slab countertop out of a black walnut tree that was on my wife's grandparents' property. And so, you know, it's one of those things where I need to be able to dedicate enough time to do it right. I need an area to work on it so that I can do it right. And I don't have either one of those things right now. We are slowly working on getting the old tool shed converted into a podcast studio so that I can move all my audio video equipment and other things related to Hack My Homestead out to the old tool shed, what used to be the power shed. So this is where our batteries and the old inverter and where the PV came into the charge controller and all that. That area is being converted into my tool shed. So all the power equipment is inside now because I don't have to worry about battery off-gassing because I'm on lithium iron phosphate batteries. So we moved all of those components inside. We have, like I said, we're moving the tools into what used to be the power shed. What used to be the tool shed will now be the podcast studio. And I'll probably have like some of my brewing stuff set up in there and some reloading stuff set up in there. And then the pole barn is being converted into a combination outdoor tool area / kind of like parts bin. So it's like this outdoor storage area, but I'm going to take some... And if you've ever seen a salad bar and you've got those like round metal containers that the stuff that goes on the salad sits in, I was able to find a bunch of those at a restaurant auction store in Nashville. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use a hole saw and I'm going to cut holes in plywood that those bins will sit in. And instead of building a salad bar, I will build a parts bar. So I'll have like all of my half inch PEX fittings in one spot and all of my 3/4 inch PEX fittings in one spot and all my 1 inch PEX fittings in one spot and all my brass fittings in one spot and all my barbed fittings in one spot and PVC fittings in one spot and electrical connections and screws and eye bolts and all of that stuff. I just have so much of that kind of stuff. And what'll inevitably happen is I need something. I can't find it. So I go to the store, and by the way, we have a local hardware store, but like the nearest big box store is an hour away, one way. So I do my 2.5 hour round trip to the Lowe's in Dixon, Tennessee, and I get home and I do my project and I use half the box of whatever it was. And then I go out to put it somewhere, you know, and I'm like, you know what, you know where this should go? This should go on that second shelf in the tool shed. And I walk in there and I go to set it on the second shelf in the tool shed, and guess what's there? The other half box of the exact same thing that I used the last time that I had a project that was similar and I needed it and I couldn't find it. And sometimes that would be like one of three. Like I have like 4 manual staplers. And the reason I have 4 manual staplers is every time I need a staple gun, I can't find any of my staple guns, so I go buy a new one. And one time, I literally went and bought a staple gun and came home, realized I didn't remember where my staples were, went to the most likely place that I would have stored staples, and they were there right next to 2 staple guns. So, in any case, trying to get all of that stuff organized properly, which allows me to be much more efficient in my projects. And so the idea is like, okay, if I can get, you know, tool shed, power shed, and pole barn all set up the way that I want them, then I can take all the wood that I need to work on for the countertops out to the pole barn, set up some sawhorses. I can glue everything up together and plane it and edge it and join it and clamp it and work on it and do everything that I need to do, and then I can just bring it into the house and put it all together and utilize it. So that's kind of the order of operations. We still have a bunch of trees down. We've been slowly cutting them up. We've got two major brush piles with limbs that will hopefully eventually be turned into wood chips. I've got a chipper shredder, and so the idea is we're going to pile that stuff up and let it season a little bit, and then I'm going to run it all through the chipper shredder. But we still have some pretty big trees up down as well. And so one of the other things that I need to do is I need to decide where I'm going to put these logs that I intend to eventually mill. So I need to A, decide where I'm going to put them, and then I need to build a little rack for them to go on to keep them up off the ground and where, you know, air can flow through them. And then I've already got some metal. I've got metal that I can put over, and I've got tarps that I can put over. I'm not sure exactly which one I'm going to do yet because I don't know where I'm putting them yet. But that's kind of the next, you know, kind of like medium priority thing is get these trees cut up, the stuff that's loggable or millable rather, get that stuff cut and put in a place to start drying. And then the other stuff I'm going to cut up. We do have a log splitter, and so I need to start splitting some wood for this winter. I would say we probably have like a quarter of a face cord of wood right now. Now there's a significant amount of wood available. We've got blown down trees that have been down for 2 years. And it's those nice ones that like fall all the way to where they're level, but then get caught up in another tree. So the whole trunk stays up off the ground for 2 years and just dries out for you. So I've got a couple of those I need to get cut up and split and stacked over near the house. And then most of the trees that I've cut down this year, we'll get those cut up, and, some of them we might split and stack, and some of them we might just cut up and, stack and then come back next year and split them. So we'll just see about that. But I probably have 2 years to 3 years worth of wood laying on the ground right now that needs to get cut up. Then I've got the other solar array that needs to be installed. That array, you know, once all the panels are mounted, it's going to look a lot like a carport. So, we're waiting until the house in Alabama sells in order to get that, project up and going. 'Cause I'm probably going to just straight hire that project out. I'm probably going to just mark off the area, make sure that nothing's in the way, and have some folks come in and pour a 4-inch slab and build the structure 100%. And then when they're done, I'll just go up and mount solar panels to it. I think that's probably what I'm going to end up doing. So, those are kind of the projects that we've got going on. Now that the Kickstarter is virtually done, I do intend to get back on the content creation train. So regular podcasting, regular YouTube videos, just had kind of gotten away from that with everything else going on. Oh, by the way, I mentioned we still haven't sold the Alabama house, but we are under contract and we do have a close date for next month. Inspections done. I believe I heard that all of the stuff for the financing was done. Oddly enough, the lender waived the appraisal. So I don't know if we gave this guy such a great deal on the house that the lender was like, hey, don't worry about it. We know that you're good to go if you're buying that house for that price. Or if this guy is an investor and he's got like a bank that he deals with normally and they've got their covenants. And as long as they're meeting their covenants, the bank doesn't get appraisals. I don't know. I know that our property for the right person could be a cash cow because we've got a huge house with a huge pool, huge garage. Like it's a great house to live in with a big family. But then on top of that, we've also got over 12 acres and the main lot that the house sits on, you know, you could take like that whole side of the property, and which is about 5 acres, that leaves 7 acres on the other side of the road in the neighborhood that you could develop. You could split up and develop. And so it's possible that this guy might be a developer and he might be buying the property more than anything to just get access. Like, wouldn't it be a good deal or a cool deal to buy a 12-acre property with a house on it that's got a workshop? And take seven. I mean, realistically, you could even take our property and cut it down to 3 acres, and you could develop the other 9 acres into, you know, somewhere between 4 and 9 additional lots. And so it would be a cool deal to like come in and buy our house with our 12 acres, subdivide, excuse me, the land, and take the 7 acres across the street, put 4 houses over there, sell those, and then, you know, take the proceeds from those 4 houses and turn around and build 2 or 3 more houses on our side of the street, but on the, like, the other side of the holler, because where our house sits, it goes down and then back up. There's a stream in the bottom. You know, if I had $1 million sitting around, I would do that, because I know that that would be the best way to maximize the value of that property. But I don't, and not interested in doing that. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we get that done next month. It's a big deal for us because, you know, I've got this pool and lawn maintenance, you know, and so we're needing to make a trip, basically about a 500-mile round trip every weekend, or at least once a week. It doesn't have to be on the weekends, to go down, do pool maintenance, especially this time of year when you've got leaves starting to fall. Because, you know, we do want the house to continue to be shown in case this property falls, or this contract falls through. You know, we'd like to have some other people that have seen the house that we can reach out to and say, hey, it's back on the market. So keeping the pool in good order, doing all the weed eating and the mowing and everything else, it's time consuming. And, you know, we could hire someone to do the yard work, but we hadn't been able to find anyone to do the pool work. And it's like, well, if I got to go down there, you know, it actually takes me more time to do pool maintenance than he does lawn maintenance. So I can go down there and in a day basically do everything I need to do with the pool and the pond or the yard, and then come home. And we still have some stuff down there, so there's going to be several trips before we kind of get everything picked up and moved as well. And so that's happening right now. So that's just something that takes about, you know, it basically subtracts about 36 hours out of every week by the time it's all said and done. And then, of course, we've got all the regular homestead stuff, you know, like you still got to get up and prepare your meals for the day. You know, we're starting to try to beat the forest back because the forest has tried to swallow the house since we've been gone. We've got one gutter that's acting up, so we're going to take that down. Probably have to replace a little bit of soffit wood and then put a drip edge in and redo the gutter on that side. But I'm also thinking about maybe building a little pergola on that side and putting clear poly roofing on it. And if I do that, then I'm not going to bother with putting a gutter up above that. I'll just let the water come off the roof, hit the pergola, and then come off the pergola and put the gutter down there. So yeah, there's a few medium-sized projects that we need to do once the house in Alabama is sold and it frees up some capital money for us. And then, like I said, getting back on the regular content creation wagon. I fell off there for a little bit with the house stuff and the trip and the inverter and all the power system having to be redone and the water problems, et cetera, et cetera. But starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, every time we knock one out, you know, and finish a project, that's just one less thing that we've got to do next year or 5 years down the road. So yeah, just one of those things. It's just part of homesteading it that you got to roll with the punches. And, you know, every time you think that you're done with one thing, 2 more things might pop up that you need to take care of. But that doesn't mean that they don't have to be taken care of. Excuse me. One of the things I'm going to do now that the Kickstarter is done is probably starting Friday this week. I might do like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm going to do like an hour to 2 hour long Ask Me Anything segments on YouTube. We had one set up as kind of like a yay, we finished the Kickstarter, and we set it up for Monday, and we sent out the thing saying Monday, and then we got a notification from YouTube that like your live stream starts in an hour on Sunday. So on Sunday we jumped on, and I was like, dang, I guess it was Sunday. I don't know. I got my days mixed up. So we got on there, and it was just me and Ashley, and no one else joined. And I was like, well, maybe I just sent the notification out too late, or hey, you know what? It's Sunday. People have things to do. I guess maybe just no one was interested in getting on there. And so we stayed on for about 20 minutes and then got off and went about our day. And then yesterday, as I was looking at some Kickstarter stuff, I realized that I sent a notification out to everyone saying we were going to do it on Monday. So I hope a bunch of people didn't show up and wait Monday for us to get a live stream started that we had actually already done on Sunday. And so that's just one of those things where it's like, it's an honest mistake, but it's one of those that you probably don't make if you don't have all this other crap going on. So in order to try to make it up to the community, I think we're just going to do like 4 days in a row, and just make it open. We'll just do straight up live stream, and anyone that can find my YouTube channel is welcome to come check that out. So I'll get some stuff out probably later today. I'm on my way home from a mini consulting tour. I did 4 site visits over the last 2 days, and stayed overnight at the Holler with Tactical and Nicole from Living Free in Tennessee, and did a little troubleshooting on their system this morning as well. Then had lunch and headed on home from there. So that's what I'm doing now, is driving home. Been on the road for the last couple of days. And you know, I've got some cool projects I'm going to be working on. So I am excited about that. But anyways, thanks everyone for tuning in. And if you have any questions or concerns or stuff you'd like for me to talk about on the show, you can email me at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, @hackmyhomestead.com. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next time.